My first Sunday with you, does anybody remember about the Pentecostal dog? I always start my message with what I think is funny, and other people groan at me. But the biggest reason I start every sermon with something funny, the biggest reason is to chase away any religious spirits. And so we're going to do that right now. A tornado hit a Kansas farmhouse just before dawn one morning. It tore off the roof and picked up the bed on which the farmer and his wife were sleeping. By some miracle, the cyclone set them down. Anybody believe this? Unharmed in the next county over. Do you believe that? The wife was sobbing uncontrollably. And of course, the husband said, "Don't be scared, Mary. We're not hurt. But Mary just continued to cry and to cry. She said, "I'm not scared." She said, I'm happy. I'm so happy. This is the first time in 14 years we've been out together. Lord, have mercy. Lord, okay, so groan. Somebody wants to groan. It's okay. It's all right. You know what I'm also praying as that laughter chases away any religious spirits? I'm praying for our marriages. I'm praying that we're healed in Jesus' name. For every relationship, oh Jesus, may we learn unconditional love. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is being questioned by some religious spirits. So he decided to, in the face of those religious spirits, to sum up the entire Bible. Anybody know what one word sums up the entire Bible? Come on. Grab your Bible, pick it up, say love, 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 love. All the law, all the prophets are summed up with this one word. Love, love, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I pray that Angle Lake Neighborhood Church would truly be love-centered. 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 The main thing. When I was with you the first time, I gave you this little acronym, A-W-E. A-W-E. Affection, warmth, encouragement. I believe that the awe of God is found when we encourage one another. God inhabits praise. And maybe you're not feeling God because you stepped out of praise. God habits when we praise the Father, when we praise the Son, when we praise the Holy Spirit. But God also shows up when we praise one another. When we lift up one another, affection, warmth, encouragement, I'm praying that this would be a thin place where heaven and earth meet, that we walk in this house of prayer for all nations. Look around this room. We really are a house of prayer for all nations, that we walk in this room and we know immediately it's a thin place. Heaven is about to touch earth. A true house of prayer in Jesus' name. Every evil spirit, every religious spirit has to flee. You know, I'm repeating myself on purpose. The Lord gave me a vision in the middle of COVID when everybody was going crazy. Anybody remember that? And my wife in the middle of COVID said, "Well, I'll just finish my degree. That's how amazing she is. But I had this vision. And some people struggle when they hear the word vision. So let me just say to you, if you do, I saw Jesus in my heart. And I saw him hanging on the cross. And I saw each nail. Oh, you are fun to preach to. I love that face. And I saw each nail named. One nail was named sin. Anybody glad that Jesus died for their sin? Come on. Anybody glad that Jesus died for their sin? One nail was named sin. One nail was named religion. Because I'm telling you, folks, religion put him on that cross. And the other nail was named politics. Because I'm telling you right now, folks, politics put Jesus on the cross. And the bottom line from where coming full circle, the bottom line is the Holy Spirit said to me, revival will come as you plead the blood of Jesus. It's all about the blood of Jesus. And the only thing that's going to save the Church of Jesus Christ today is God showing up. It's not any personality. It's his church. It's not about Paul. If Angle Lake Neighborhood Church is about Paul, we're in trouble. It's his church. His church. And as we plead the blood of Jesus, we will see revival. And I am believing for revival. I'm believing for the Spirit to show up in new ways. Somebody said this morning with a message of tongues and an interpretation, God's doing something new. Anybody receive it? Anybody receive it? For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never, never, never lose its power. I plead the blood of Jesus over Angle Lake Neighborhood Church. I plead the blood of Jesus over your homes. I plead the blood of Jesus over our cities. I plead the blood of Jesus over our state. I plead the blood of Jesus over our country. I plead the blood of Jesus over every little thing. God is working. God is moving. I want to know what he's up to and jump on board. Amen. Amen. So this vision has worked itself out to now, as I live my everyday life, I see folks throwing sin at each other, trying to find help. I see folks throwing religion at each other, trying to find help. I see folks throwing politics at each other, trying to find help. But guess what? Hurt people hurt people. They're finding a lot of hurt in those things. Hurt people hurt people. And the only answer is the blood of Jesus. The only answer is the blood of Jesus. So grab your Bibles, because we've got to start with the main thing, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We got to start with the main thing. Jesus said all the law, all the prophets are summed up in this: love, love, love. So grab your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and once you found it, I'd love you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word this morning. Anybody up for that? Let's do it. Let's do it. Wow. What time is church supposed to be over? 2 or 3? Lord have mercy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now that just scared somebody. Everybody, oh Lord. Listen, I understand that there is a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. So, don't hear that. 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, hallelujah. Though I speak with the tongues of men, oh God, not my words, your words, may they jump out of this book, God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. God, may we move beyond noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Man, if you know love, you know that it suffers. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 5. Chapter 13, verse 5. Lord, make my mouth work. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Wow. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, endures all things, endures all things. That's my marriage. My wife endures all things. My poor, poor wife has to endure all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it's going to vanish away. But we know only in part. We prophesy just in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We see in this mirror dimly. But then, anybody ready for the then? For the face to face? The face to face? Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. And now abide, faith, abide, abide, folks, abide in faith, abide in hope, abide in love, abide in faith, abide in hope, abide in love. These three, but the greatest of these is love, love, love. Father, we thank you for your word. It is alive. It's alive. It's active. It's sharper than a sword, piercing our spiritual man, piercing the spiritual woman, changing us from the inside out. God, may not one of us leave this room the same way that we came. Pierce our hearts with your word. May it move from logos to rhema. And not just when we're at church, but God, every time we open our Bible, may it move from logos to rhema. May it come alive. May it jump off the page and into our heart and soul and mind. It's the only way we're going to make it in this crazy world. We need rhema. We need to move from doctrine to the revelations of God. We need to be able to open our Bible and see revealed the mind, the thoughts that are higher, his ways that are higher. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for love, love. God, we want continuous increasing intimacy with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I unapologetically read a lot of scripture. I remember in Bible class, they said, just take a little piece. Just take a little piece. And I can't do it. I can't do it. You need God's words, not Paul's words. So I'm going to do something Have you all read The Message? Everybody has different opinions about The Message. I love it. I love it. And I especially love 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in The Message. Is it okay if I read it to you real quick? If you don't want to, you can just step out real quick. Just step out real quick. And there's a beautiful courtyard. Smell the flowers. And then when I'm done, you can step back in. Okay. And we won't think any less of you. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything as plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. Just noise. Anybody just feel like you're just surrounded by noise? Noise, noise. God deliver us from the noise. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Somebody say it. Love never gives up. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Oh, help God. Jesus, help me. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Stop that. That list that you have against that somebody, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over that list. You stop it with that list. That is killing you, not them. Get rid of that list. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes no pleasure in the flowering of, it takes pleasure. Boy, don't put the no there. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Truth. Anybody believe in the way, the truth, and the life? I believe John 14:6 is true. Puts up with anything. It puts up with anything. That's love. Love puts up with anything. We don't like to hear that. Love puts up with anything. It trusts God always. It always looks for the best. Oh, that might help somebody today. What do you look? You get what you're looking for. You get what you're looking for. It always looks for the best. It never looks back. It keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. Hello? My understanding reaches its limit every day. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled, I cooed like an infant. But then I grew up and I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog. We're peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it as clearly as God sees us. Knowing him directly, just as he knows us. Continuous, increasing intimacy. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do. Here's your three-point sermon. I'm being a good boy. Here's your three-point sermon. I got 3 points, and then I got a bunch more. But here's your three-point sermon. Okay. Three things to lead us toward that great consummation. Trust steadily in God. Come on, somebody say it. Trust steadily. Trust steadily. Grab a pen and write it down on your neighbor's finger. Trust steadily. Trust steadily. Hope unswervingly. That's number two. Love extravagantly. Right from God's word. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of these three is, somebody shout it, love, love, love. Lord have mercy, that cranks my tractor. Oh, I spent a little time in Nebraska. And as a matter of fact, we found out a member of your church and I were both friends with some friends in Nebraska. So small world, friends. Small world. The only three-point sermon that will change the world is the one taken directly from Scripture. Directly from Scripture. So today's life-altering truth, have you written it down yet? Trust steadily. Hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. This is what life is all about. Nothing else matters. I could preach on love every Sunday until Jesus comes back and never even scratch the surface. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 proclaims, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. See, I grew up in a very loving home, and I love my parents very dearly. And my daddy used to sing this song called Family Bible, and I can't do it. You got to do it. Mama, would you make your way to the piano? The only thing that matters is faith and hope and love. See, the enemy is busy trying to destroy the church. Man, the devil loves to go to church, and he loves to sow discord. And in Jesus' name, I plead the blood over this church. Hey, there's not going to be discord here in Jesus' name. He tries to get the church uncentered, unloving, make us critical and make us bitter, make us step out of praise. In Jesus' name, we're going to stay in praise. See, there's three levels of living. There's the satanic level, there's the human level, and there's the godly level. The human level is just good for good, evil for evil. You're good to me, I'll be good to you. You're evil to me, I'll be evil to you. That's the human level. The satanic level is returning evil for good. You're good to me, and I'm evil to you. That's the devil, folks. And then there's the godly level, which returns good for evil. You can throw the worst you want at me, and I'm going to love you unconditionally. That is God. I'm telling you right now, God has big shoulders. And whatever, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever you've faced, you can begin again. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, His mercies are new. And God is love. So no matter what you throw at God, He's going to throw love back at you. He's so good. God is so good. Okay, so get your pens out. Here we go. I'm going to talk really fast. There's this book by Rob Ketterling that's entitled Front Row Leadership. I'd encourage you to write it down. Front Row Leadership by Rob Ketterling. I love the tagline. The tagline is stop criticizing and start leading. Just the tagline preaches. He asks, why are people so critical? According to an article in the Harvard Review, People become overly critical because of what psychologists call projection. It's a psychological defense mechanism that people use to deny their own faults by attributing those faults to others. Come on now, this preaches, folks. In other words, be careful what you complain about, because it might just shine a light on you, on your own fault. The greatest classical composer, Jean Sibelius, said, "A statue has never been set up in honor of a critic." Most people don't even realize, they don't even understand why they are so critical. They're caught up in a cycle of negativity, of critical living. And some of them just see it as their right. They don't realize the power of negative thinking. Not only does it highlight their fault, it also destroys their enthusiasm. It affects every part of life. Hey, preacher, what about constructive criticism, right? Who's thinking that? Come on, who's thinking it? Hey, preacher, what about constructive criticism? Well, I'll tell you right now, there is a time for it, but most of the time, it's just us being mean. There's a time when the Lord leads. There's the peace. There is a time when the Holy Spirit says, open your mouth. But most of the time, the Holy Spirit shuts my mouth. Because I got a big mouth. And my son said, amen. There is a time when the Lord leads to speak the truth in love, in love, in love, sandwiching criticism with much praise. That means we start with praise, we interject a little piece of something the Holy Spirit gave us, and then we end with praise, 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 praise. We don't always enjoy hearing hard things, but listen, conflict can be a great blessing. Conflict can be a great privilege. Conflict can bring us closer. My wife and I have just celebrated 24 years of marriage, and we're young, right? I'm still young, right? Anyway, I'm still young, right? So my wife and I, we're 24 years married, and we're about to hit the big 25. And I went, wow, how is that possible? 25 years, and we've had a lot of moments when she's had to put up with me. I don't have to put up with her because she's perfect, but she has to put up with me for 24 years. There's this beautiful teaching entitled Turning Conflict into Cooperation, and I'm going to share it with you sometime soon. Put it on your calendar. Conflict is normal. God allows it for a reason. That's why Proverbs said, iron sharpening iron. He puts opposites together on purpose. God does this. Why are we attracted to our opposite? Why is it? And then we get married, and then we just iron sharpening iron. There's the sparks of flying, folks. But God does it on purpose. If we never disagree, then one of us isn't necessary. Right? So I'm lovingly confronting those of us who consistently over time and in many situations see the glass as half empty and focus critique outwardly rather than taking the responsibility inwardly. Constant nagging negativity can never be constructive, only destructive. Am I talking to anybody? From a faith, hope, love perspective, negativity is one of the most powerful weapons used against us by our very real enemy. The battle is not against flesh and blood, folks. We are in a spiritual battle. Go ahead, preacher. Come on. Our propensity toward negativity might be the enemy's greatest weapon, exercising our opinions rather than our influence. Leonardo da Vinci said, "The greatest deception men suffer is their own opinion." I had this board member in Nebraska. His name was Keith. And we'd be sitting at board meeting, and he'd say, "Pastor, opinions are kind of like armpits." He'd say, "Everybody has a couple, and they usually stink." If you find yourself stuck, if you find yourself stuck in a cycle of negativity, I want to give you 5 things to do. Come on, if I'm talking to you, 5 things to do. First of all, list things for which you are grateful. Count your sufferings, name them one by one. Count your sufferings, see what the devil has done. That's not how it goes. Sing it. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Isn't that a good old song? I told you the first time I was here, they call me the boy version of Mary Poppins preaching. Because I just break into song, I can't help it. I can't help it. As a matter of fact, my mother taught me. Yeah, we were sitting playing, my wife, whenever mama's here, she makes us all sit and play this card game called Nuts, and it is nuts, and every few minutes she breaks into song. So list, instead of that negative list, make a positive list. Include your talents. Say some good things about you, because you can't love your neighbor until you love yourself. Go ahead, preacher. You can't love your neighbor until you love yourself. Include your talents, your abilities, your gifts. Think about your family, your friends, your provisions. It's hard to be negative when you're expressing gratitude. And we're coming into that time of year, inching towards my wife's favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. Man, this lady can bake. My wife can bake, folks. This is why I have a bubble in the middle. Okay. Yeah. And I also love pumpkin. This time of year, I'm not a big fan of celebrating evil. Not a big fan of Halloween. You know, but there's some things we can do to make it fun. And I heard one time describing the carving of a pumpkin to Jesus reaching inside of us and taking all that sin out. Have you heard that before? Oh, maybe just me. Okay. I love pumpkin spice lattes too. Come on. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Secondly, so what are we doing first? We're listing a grateful list, counting our blessings. Secondly, we're completing this statement. I can make a difference by ... I can make a difference by. Spend some quality time thinking about ways you can make a difference in your home, at your work, at your church, in the community. Everybody is a minister. Everybody needs a ministry. No. You're the minister. You're the preacher. Nope. You're a minister. Man, this guy right here, now he ministered this morning out there in front and welcoming everybody to church right there. That is a minister. That is a minister. Everybody is a minister. Everybody needs a ministry. You are breathing for a reason. As long as you have breath in your lungs, this sweet little Hetty in Wenatchee, she'd say, "Pastor, why is Jesus leaving me here? I want to go to heaven." And I'd say, "Hetty, it's because he has the greatest work on earth for you to do." I mean, she said, "What are you talking about? I'm laying in this bed and I'm ready to go meet Jesus." Let me tell you, prayer, it's Oswald Chambers that said this, prayer does not fit you for a greater work. Prayer is the greater work. You are crafted for a purpose. You are called, you are anointed, and God wants to do something great through you. Number three, this is so important. Do it now. My son has this obsession with Nike. Just do it. Just do it. Do it now. Identify one thing you will do to make a difference within the next 7 to 10 days. Do it now. Do something now. Get out of that funk. Do it now. Don't put it off. Number four, displace negative influences with positive ones. Try this. Don't think about ice cream. You can't do it, can you? Don't think about ice cream. Now, how many of you are tasting ice cream right now? And this preacher won't shut up, and now he's talking about ice cream. The harder you try not to think about something, the more you think about it. Man, that preaches. You can make yourself stop thinking negative thoughts. You cannot make yourself stop thinking negative thoughts any more than you can make yourself stop thinking about ice cream. And right now, all I'm thinking about is that pumpkin pie blizzard I had the other night. No? Oh, okay. All right. The secret is displacement. Replace negative influences with positive ones. Open your Bible. Open that inspirational work. Open that devotional. Change the television channel. Turn off that news, folks. You are filling your brain with Tune out the negative comments on social media. Scrolling. Tune it out sometimes. When you encounter someone who's negative, turn the conversation in a positive direction with every ounce of your being in love and love and love and love and love. And number five, ask yourself, really? Really? When your thoughts lead you down a path of assumption, speculation, insinuation, condemnation, there is therefore, now, no condemnation for anyone in Christ Jesus. Stop. Check in with reality. Is what you are imagining really going to happen? Most of the things we worry about never take place. This is why Jesus said, stop it. Do not worry. But the real scary thing is, are you ready for this? We can worry it into reality. Maybe that thing at first was a really, but with all your worry, you made it happen. I said to a dear church member recently, if you're going to assume anything, always assume the best. Always assume the best. Holly did this teaching for our VIPs at Wenatchee Valley Christian Center. I already told you that kids are the VIPs. And Jesus said, unless you change and become like a child, you can't get into the kingdom. Childlike faith is the door to heaven. Anyway, Holly asked the kiddos to stop and to think. I'm giving you all kinds of tools this morning. And Frank and I are going to hook up and we're going to get things on the screen in the future. Over here. But stop and think. T-H-I-N-K. Have you heard this before? Have you heard it? T-H-I-N-K. Okay. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Before the words come out of your face, stop and think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Folks, what's happened to kindness? Love is kind. Church is where you learn to love real people, not ideal people. As a matter of fact, church is a hospital. And so you're going to encounter a lot of crazy. I'm part of that crazy, folks. Church is where you learn to love real people, not ideal people. And that's what God put us on earth to do, to love unconditionally. If you find a perfect church, please don't go there. You'll mess it up. Somebody said, I don't go to that church because it's full of hypocrites. And I say, there's always room for one more. The church is building one another up, never tearing each other down. Jesus, may this truly be a place of awe, affection, warmth, encouragement. Grace isn't grace unless it's amazing. If we remember that, then it's hard to become that religious critic, that Pharisee, thinking you're working for God when you're really working against him. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what I've given my life to. I haven't given my life to religion. Religion is man's attempt at God, but the gospel is God's attempt at man. Let go, let God, and do it right now. Let go, let God. Man, there's this lady in at church at Rogue River Assembly of God. Her name was Mary, and almost every Sunday she'd come up to me, Pastor. She had this voice, Pastor, let go, let God. And people have said to me before, that's cliche. Man, that's not cliche, that's Mary. That's Mary standing in front of me saying, Pastor, let go, let God. Just one touch from Jesus and everything changes. Oh, Jesus, we need your touch. We're in charge of our attitude. I say to my kids all the time, it's Charles Swindoll that said, life is 90% attitude and 10% what happens to you. You've heard that quote? I love Charles, but I'm telling you right now, it's 100%, folks. Life is 100% attitude and has nothing to do with what's going on around you. I always come back, I'm going to close with this, and I'm not lying. I know there's preachers that lie, and they say, I'm closing with this, and then they don't. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to close with this story. The Lord put three words in my heart, simple, story, and song. And so most of the time, I will close my message with a story, with a song. Alice Gray tells a story of a young man walking along an isolated road when he heard something like a crying sound. He couldn't tell for sure what the sound was, but it seemed to be coming from underneath a bridge. As he approached the bridge, the sound got louder, and then he saw a very pathetic sight. There, lying in the muddy riverbed, was a puppy about 2 months old. When I tell this story, I immediately picture our beloved little Maggie. She's this precious little dog. I immediately picture her lying in the mud. Riverbed was a puppy. It had a gash on its head and it was covered with mud. Its front legs were swollen where they had been tightly bound with cords. And the young man was immediately moved with compassion and wanted to help this poor little dog. Come on, who's dog lovers? No, I thought it'd be more than that. If you're a Christian, you're a dog lover, I thought. I don't know. But as he approached, the crying stopped and the dog snarled his lip and started to growl. But the young man did not give up because what? Love never gives up. It trusts steadily. It hopes unswervingly. It loves extravagantly. So that young man did not give up. He sat down. He started gently talking to the dog. It took a long time. But eventually that dog stopped growling and the man was able to inch forward and eventually even touch the dog and began unwrapping those terrible cords. The young man carried the dog home, cared for its wounds, gave it food, gave it water, and a warm bed. Even with all of this, that dog continued to snarl. That dog continued to growl. Us people aren't much different. I have to tell you right now what happens when you're squeezed. And this last week, I've been squeezed. And my poor family has seen some not so great squeeze from me, right? I mean, when you move and you're moving to this little tiny room and you're saying, okay, Jesus, what's going on? We need you to open a door. And you get squeezed. And then this is an opportunity. This is a privilege for Paul to work on Paul. For the Holy Spirit to teach me how to live in the fruit and in the gifts. How to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I can't tell you how many times I've apologized to my family this week. Anybody else been there? Growling. That dog was growling and snarling every time that young man approached. But the young man did not give up. Weeks went by. The man continued caring for the puppy. Then one day as the young man approached that dog, what'd he do? He wagged his tail. Consistent love. Unconditional kindness and love had won, and a lifelong friendship of loyalty and trust began. Did you hear it? Don't give up on anybody. In the name of Jesus, that prodigal. Come on. Somebody say some prodigals out loud. Say those names. Say those names. Some prodigals. That don't you give up on those prodigals. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, we believe right now that you're reaching by your Spirit. Come on, say those prodigals. We're believing that they're coming back to Jesus. 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 Don't give up on anybody. There's nobody too far that God cannot wrap into his amazing arms of love. It's God's unconditional love. And it must be evident in his people. Do we truly trust steadily? Do we hope unswervingly? Do we love extravagantly?